This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. MARTA's new CEO and general manager, Keith Parker, began his term this week after coming from San Antonio, where he was for 3.5 years. He joins us in his office at MARTA headquarters. Keith Parker, welcome to Atlanta, and welcome to 90.1 WABE. Good to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be in Atlanta amongst friends.
Let's start real quickly with what you're facing. Your predecessor, Dr. Beverly Scott, in a conversation with my colleague Rose Scott, said that she felt that MARTA's business model was outdated. Now, you may not have had a chance to look at everything, but does it seem that way to you?
Well, it's unsustainable. The current business plan lays forward a path that within the next 3 to 4 years we'll run out of money. We have a budget deficit in the $30 million range. And as the agency looks towards new revenues and so forth, if they are not forthcoming, then we will have to make some pretty draconian cuts or major changes that will have a detrimental impact on service.
One of the ways that MARTA had hoped to avoid making further cuts was the removal of what was called the 50-50 handcuffs that is in state law right now. You have to spend 50% of the money on capital and 50% on operations, even though the demands of the current day might be different. The legislature did not remove those during the last session. And when I spoke to the MARTA Oversight Committee chair, Mike Jacobs, he said, "Don't worry, we will look at that very quickly in the next legislative session." How important is that to you? And do you, just coming in, believe that the legislature will act quickly on that to avoid the kind of cuts you're talking about?
Well, we're going to have lots of conversations with MARTOC, other legislators, and the governor's office. The 50-50 issue is important, but it won't solve our financial issues. So even if granted, it will not allow us to generate new revenue. It allows us to be a bit more flexible with the different financial sources that we have. So it's important to give us the flexibility we need to make short-term decisions, but long-term, it does not solve MARTA's financial issues.
So where do you want the new revenue to come from? I mean, fare hikes are a very difficult thing, especially since MARTA is already among the more expensive transit systems going at $2.50 a ride.
Yes, and so what we need to do is to be creative in a number of different ways. First, we need to make sure our financial house is completely in order, that we're doing things in the most cost-effective way possible. Everything from the way we pay our employees to the way we buy fuel to the way we procure all sorts of different elements. We also have to be very upfront with ourselves in making sure that all the things that we do in-house are things that make sense for us. And then we have to have an engagement with the public to talk about other ways that MARTA might be able to more creatively generate revenue in terms of public-private partnerships and other things that may be out there that some other transit systems are beginning to experiment with.
Give me a quick example of that. What would be something that might work as a public-private partnership?
Well, MARTA owns a substantial amount of real estate around the Atlanta region. So we will be having conversations with the development community about some of those opportunities. This is something we were just beginning in San Antonio, things we were doing in Charlotte, and they could bring in revenues. It won't make up a $30 million deficit, but it begins to chip away at all the different it's a part of an overall approach of looking at a comprehensive manner to begin to chip away at that $30 million deficit. So becoming more efficient, looking for opportunities for different partnerships and so forth, and eventually having a conversation again with the public about other new revenue sources, I think will all have to be on the table.
What other new revenue sources are you thinking about?
Well, one of the things we were able to do in both North Carolina and in Texas was to convince the state to help fund mass transit. In North Carolina, all the major capital projects for the transit system, and in Charlotte, we were the first one to receive this. We got 25% funding from the state. So, for example, the most recent light rail project in Charlotte, which is about a $1 billion project, the state paid 25% of that. The federal government paid 50%, and so the locals paid 25%. In Texas, we've been able recently to begin to have the state begin to dedicate some funds to mass transit when they had never really done that before. And so I think, and part of the consistency between Charlotte and what we're able to do in San Antonio to what we'll need to do here in Atlanta is to show that the transit system is very well run. It's a great investment, so that the state leaders would begin to see, wow, that's a local government that deserves our support.
And you probably are familiar, even if you've only been here a short time, with the state resistance to funding MARTA. How do you make the case to lawmakers without giving up MARTA's autonomy, or should MARTA even continue to exist the way it does now?
Well, I think what we have to do is show that we are a very well-run business, a business that's responsive to its customers, a business that takes care of its employees, and a business that's sustainable. And if we do those things and we do them the right way, plus begin to have a very strong engagement with the public, in the public, to include our customers, to include the taxpayers who don't use a service but who I view as very important because they are helping to pay the bills for us, and then various other stakeholders like elected officials, neighborhood association leaders, and what have you, have good conversations with them and begin to turn the organization's image around by showing that we are doing good and smart things. Begin to show what impact we have on this region and so forth. And when we and where we're not good, begin to make very solid improvements. That was part of the reason why we were successful in North Carolina and in Texas. In both places, we were able to really change the image and perception of the transit systems there. And as a result, we started winning lots of awards and began to become a source of pride for the local area as well as the state. And even very recently, you saw with the Democratic National Convention being held in Charlotte, the light rail line was being held up as one of the testimonial pieces of Charlotte's greatness. In San Antonio, we won more awards, the transit system did, in the last year or so that I was there than any other transit system in the country. So when you start doing those things and people begin to look at you as a source of pride, they begin to open up their investments to you a lot more readily.
But MARTA is much bigger than either Charlotte or San Antonio and much more complex. In San Antonio, you were dealing with what was primarily a bus system. So with the challenges, logistical challenges of a heavy rail system, the demands of a region, including areas that are not served by rail at the moment, and some of the political challenges we've already talked about, what in your experience would let you take on something as complex as MARTA with the heavy rail component that the other jobs didn't have?
Well, what I find is that people are people. Elected officials are elected officials. Customers are customers. If you do a good job, whether you're running 7-Eleven or Walmart, people just want good customer service. If we do that, we run a good, solid business. I don't think it matters if you're running a big, multi-billion dollar choo-choo train or if you're running the local neighborhood bike operation. If you do a good job, give people good customer service, they will invest more in you. So that's the approach we're going to take. We're going to take every customer seriously. We're going to listen to every employee suggestion, and we're going to listen to all the other stakeholders and then come up with a plan to make MARTA more sustainable. And then once we've done that and begin to win the confidence of our customer base, to include all the various stakeholders, I think they will be more open to making investments into the transit system.
You said MARTA needs to improve in some areas. Mm-hmm. Where specifically so far? Obviously, again, you're just getting the lay of the land. But what has jumped out at you so far? Where does it need to improve?
Well, I think we can make improvements just about everywhere. And part of laying out what those improvements will be is listening. So I've been on the trains and we'll be on the buses every day that I work here pretty much. And people have been walking up to me unsolicited with great advice. And so we're going to start compiling what all those different suggestions are, as well as getting out and meeting with, again, legislative folks, other elected officials, and the business community and so forth, and putting together a comprehensive plan of improvements and then bringing and executing those things. One of the things that I'm really excited about and what many of the employees are excited about is that I've told them, any idea you have, we now have the opportunity to get those things done. So they're bringing forward ideas and so forth. So I think in the next few months, you'll begin to see some customer enhancements that are low cost but high impact. You'll begin to see MARTA more visible in the communities and so forth. And the elected and other stakeholders out there will be seeing us a lot more as well. So it is a great opportunity for us to listen and begin to generate some of these ideas, and then you'll see in just a few short months some improvements begin to come forward.
Customer enhancements such as?
Well, I try not to walk through with a list of all the things we're going to get done, because every transit system, every region is a little bit different. But some of the things we're able to do in San Antonio and in Charlotte that were relatively low cost but high impact was to give passengers a better overall experience. We wanted to give people the sense of they were riding in a first-class airplane ride. So we put in almost every bus reclining seats, overhead storage, individual reading lights, in some cases individual air control, the type of thing you would have when you're on an airplane. Those improvements are relatively low cost in the overall cost of a bus, but they bring back to the customer a sense of, wow, they're really listening to us. They really are trying to make our ride a little bit better. We added some really nice high-tech but low-cost technology in our system. So there was Wi-Fi on every express bus, free Wi-Fi for all the customers. We included a new texting service where you could be at any bus stop or even in your office and text the transit system. Within a few seconds, you would get information back saying your next bus will arrive in 3 minutes or 9 minutes in real time. We had developed a brand new app that from any smartphone, you could begin to develop your trip. So you'd know when the next bus was coming. You would know how much your trip would cost. You would know and could actually plan your trip 2 weeks ahead. And we would send the information back to you so you would then be alerted that your bus trip is coming up or your train trip is coming up. And so those types of enhancements, none of which that I just mentioned cost even more than $50,000, but would have widespread impact on the transit system and to the customer, begins to send a message that this is a new, innovative, cutting-edge type company that cares about customer improvements.